$1,000 around.
Hey, some people like them.
The girls. Okay, the ladies.
The girls should hang them to their rooms.
I do.
Take some. Put it in John's room.
Oh, I like the wedding.
Anybody have any response to what we studied yesterday about the cloud? But if you have more than one option, you do nothing, you wait.
It's true.
Romans 3. Again, verse 19 and 20. Now we know that whatsoever, what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, or in the sphere of the law. In order that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
Can we stop for that? You know, you're always saying, are you doing it? You're doing it, all that stuff. And I sit in this chair and we open this book and we start this session. And I just realized, crystallized what that is, and it's the rhema. You know, these are not dead words to me, but to us, I'm sure. And that's what's happening, is the living words are invading my being, and they make stuff happen. I mean, they don't. It's so quickening is what it is. And it's making me cry to think about this. So, how?
Amen. And that's, but the reason I call you out is because if there is any transaction that's going on internally, that's to be shared.
And I'm delighted to share whatever is there. It's just knocking me out right now how real this stuff
is. Amen.
So thank you.
We must know by now, all of us, that whenever a stimuli hits us, we have to have some response. And the standard response for all men, if a stimulus hits you, is you have to go to something familiar. You go to some familiar place for your law, for your solution, for your response. And it's, we are hardwired to do that. And the mystery of the gospel is that we must come to a place where we've seen the total and complete emptiness and vanity of that response. It's not that we don't have a response, it's that we don't owe it anything. And I promise you, it sounds impossible to not negotiate and think, and but if you know by now, you must know by now that that by going up to the mountains of your mind, to whether it's either conscious or subconscious, by going up to those mountains, you have some response. And those responses cannot be of God, because they're from the source of the fallen man. And so this is why everything in sanctification, in this mystery of what's going on, is really about waiting on Him, rather than depending on the familiar responses, the familiar activity that we've done automatically our whole life, which have proven to be so empty, that we, because that, by definition, when you go up to the mountain of your mind and you look and you, well, I could do this or this, or this could happen or that could happen, then that's what you're doing. You're going up to the mountain to hear a voice.
Wait a minute. If I can, please. You lost me a little bit ago. I've got to go back there. The stimulation that we feel is not of God. It must not be of God if we're considering it or thinking it. What did you say?
The stimulus that... something happens, some need arises, some issue comes to you. We've talked about it many years ago, but there is a phenomenon called Satan's half second. And that half second is when we go up to the mountain. We go up to our mind, to the familiar places, to the seven mountains of our mind. And all of those were vital. They were necessary for us to survive, to do that. We had to do that until the temple is dedicated. And once the temple is dedicated, then those high place activities are now illegal. And that's what all of, reading, whether you read about Hezekiah or Josiah and their Passovers and what happened, that's what happens. That we, you no longer can go to the familiar for a response, for a solution or an issue.
I understand that, but I can't get my hands around this deal about God not being responsible for everything that happens to me.
Well, He is. But we are being transfigured by the renewing of our mind. And that renewal is to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Going this way, and what you're talking about is coming this way.
No.
He didn't.
I'm saying every stimulus that hits you is of God. Your response to it is the issue.
I understand that.
But
what you said was it's the following of the familiar path, going to the familiar place, that's not of God's. Not that the stimulus isn't, or the response is, it's that you just follow these neural pathways that have been, you know, it's just a pathway.
That's another one of those counterintuitive things. Every kid that falls and skins his knee runs to his mother, runs to the familiar. So we do the same, but we can't.
No, because the way, and again, if you understand, you believe me that the fiery darts of the wicked one are your thoughts. We have to quench those, and we quench them with the shield of faith. And the shield of faith says exactly what happened is exactly what's supposed to have happened. We can't have a want, we can't have a need, we can't have a feeling of inadequacy, or we can't have, what am I going to do about this? What we have is faith. And the going up to the mountains is no faith. Faith demands that we wait on Him. And the way that's manifested internally is if I try to go up to the mountain and then by I can't think of a condition where you go up for when if that's instant second you go up to a mountain for a solution or for a response. I can't imagine a situation in which you don't do that. And so what do? We quench the fiery darts. How do we quench them? By the shield of faith. What does the shield of faith say? It says, I am perfected by one offering. Everything is perfect. There is no thing I need. Everything is finished. And then if they continue, then then if the thoughts continue, you do nothing. You sit in the tent. You sit in the tabernacle. I wish I had a better way of explaining this, but I don't.
Well, when you said this, the responses are not of God, it struck me too. Maybe that's what John's talking about somewhere.
No, the response to the stimulus is of your normal, the fallen nature.
It's ultimately of God, but it's not to God. It's a response to myself rather than to Him.
All right. Let's go to another way. Isaiah said this. And again, what's happening is that the ideas or these things that you go up to, they're sparks. And that's why we have light bulbs as a cartoon figure. And it says, walk in the sparks that you have kindled, and this shall you have of mine hand. Walk in the light of the sparks that you have kindled. And this you shall have in my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Because all of the sparks, all of these sparks that you kindle are, what does it say? Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them, though under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, if you don't accept that the activity of your mind is the deeds of the law, it's the way a thing works, then that will not mean anything to you. You return to the familiar cause and effect. If I do this, this will take place. If I don't do that, that won't happen. You know, it just goes on and on. It's the religion of Babylon.
Basically, your mind is incapable of faith.
Your mind cannot have faith.
Right, it can only come up with a new law, a spiritual law, a higher law of how to do it, how to not do it. And it just keeps going on and on until you think you're in heaven or something.
The mind cannot comprehend, and our minds cannot do faith.
Right.
Our minds can only operate by a law, a familiar pathway, which is the nomos. The way a thing works is what the word nomos means.
Through reason and logic, that's how the mind can work.
And that's why everything we've done here is push everything to the end.
I was thinking earlier when this conversation started, it's like, well, shit, now you've taken everything away. Even my highest logical manners of comprehending this great good stuff, you know, and now that's no good, you know. It's like
I didn't take it away.
I don't take it personally.
No. This is important. You got to hear this. Come now, let us reason together. What happens? The highest you can get by reason is that your sin is as scarlet. Because the sin, no matter what you can conceive of, you can't accomplish it. That's the meaning. That's why we studied yesterday about the Hamashiach or the arrow. No matter what you can conceive of, you can't accomplish it. Because your mind is always going to have another thing to accomplish. It's a moving target. It can never be satisfied.
There was this letter in the morning news yesterday, and this person said, if people are breaking the law, it stands to reason that the law should be changed.
It's like John's song, Situational Ethics.
Yeah. When I stopped smoking, the aftermath was bigger. There isn't a word to use to describe how big the aftermath was. It was like somebody had opened the top of my head and pulled out something that had fibers that went into every part of my being. It was like it was pulled out and I was left laying on the ground, unable to move. I used to smoke I would dream about smoking. I would wake up in the middle of the night and go get a cigarette. Last thing in the day before I went to bed, I'd have to smoke a cigarette. First thing when I got up in the morning. Everything in my life was worshiping. That was a form of worship. The rhythms of the day, I would work a certain amount of time and then stop and then smoke a cigarette and rest and then do this. There was fellowship that was involved in it, me and Powell and a couple other people. It colored every aspect of my life. And when it was gone, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to spend my time. I was aware of my hands because of all the things that you do that are involved in smoking. It was, and those were all, the reason I'm mentioning this is those are all neural pathways that had been burned in this thing with the hands. Constantly, I would, what do I do? Get out of here, move, you know, because it was in here, and it goes on without even being aware of it. It is, in fact, worship.
Yeah, that's a good example of all of the other things. That's really wild.
Yeah.
I forgot about smoking.
Oh, man. It wasn't the smoke.
I know this sounds like I'm speaking another language. What?
Sorry.
What?
He was answering you in Spanish.
Talk about your mind.
We excuse and justify our minds constantly. Because it's the source of our identity, it's the source of our you-ness, or our uniqueness. It's so I'm not saying don't use your mind. I'm saying use your mind to the fullest extent and see what's there. And that's what Isaiah said. Come now, let us reason together. The highest that your reason will ever take you is to chaos. But we always stop. We stop the chaos. We stop the sin as scarlet. Because we define these barriers. So, and again, as I've said so often, if your parameters are sufficiently limited, you can prove anything. And as you get older, what happens is the normal process is that you slowly but surely decrease the size or the space between your barriers so you can prove more and more stuff to yourself. So you can justify your existence better and better. But God is telling us, expand. Take the tent pegs all the way to the edge of every conceivable place. Everything has to be tested. It has to be taken to the limit. And it has to be made flesh in you. It has to become, as Gary said, the Rhema. It doesn't do any good to hear these words unless you've proven to your own self that Jesus Christ is in you. Because everything I'm talking about is about what the meaning of repentance is. You can't conceive. Harry used to come and tell me, oh, this just came upon me. Or I had this dream. Well, it didn't just come upon you. It came from within you. Some pattern was there, some familiar pattern that was stimulus, hit it.
the end of going to this, the highest you can take your reason, is so that you can repent.
Yeah, and unless you do that, you can't repent.
Right, you're just thinking about, well, I would repent if I went there, but no, that's
not life. You will. Again, you got to hear this. Come now. This is what Isaiah said in Isaiah 1. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet. Now, we never, you know, my mantra when I was young was rules are for when brains run out. Because I thought that whatever came about, that I would be able to do it, handle it. Well, that was the biggest lie in the universe. But that was my law, my nomos. You know, we've got to get to you've got to get to the edge of your thought process to take it to the limit. Otherwise, you will deceive yourself to think that there is some solution, something I can do. You know what? Why did I like to play poker and gin rummy so much? Because I could have the illusion that I could win. Why do people play video games? And what's going on with all that? Because you can or me playing solitaire, I can win. And so for a brief moment of time, I can think that, you know. I mean, Gary was hooked on every kind of electronic game in the universe when we first met.
Gary Buckner.
Remember, he couldn't pass up, you know, all those video games in the arcades.
I can't think back that far.
Anyway, we have to have a place in our mind where we can have where we can stand. We can have a place to stand. The problem with having a place to stand is that you will always look down on somebody else because you're...
And it makes you blind.
Well, it's you can only see yourself.
I'm trying to... before the fall, man was created in the image of God to, like you said, the word selah. God. Did he contain God at that point?
Well, he was made to contain him, and because he had no self-awareness, then he was only aware of God.
So at the fall, it's like I'm aware of this vacancy, or this apparent vacancy in my being, and I've chosen to fill it with this created thing I call myself.
Right. Because, again, before the fall, Adam wasn't aware, I mean, this is my theory anyway, he wasn't aware of any separation between himself and God.
Almost like he had no ability to look inward.
No. That's why the Lord's Prayer, one of the key points is, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not in any way inward. And the same, I mean, the first thing that happened, they became aware of themselves. And again, it's this thing, who told you were naked? Who told you needed something?
That's an offense to, this may be off topic, but that's an offense to reason. I mean, if he was so happy, why did he fall?
Because he had to have, because he named things.
He had the ability, but he just hadn't used it yet.
He couldn't use it until he named things, because once you name things, then you separate. The only way I know this for with everything in me is what happened when I, at the convert my conversion experience. there was nothing, there was no bright lights that I went after, or there was no, there's no words to describe, except that there was no separation between me and anything. And there was this incredible sense of all-encompassing love, and the idea, I mean, that's why that when I came back, if you will, when I left that place, the one takeaway from it was I could never do anything ever again to help myself. Because I saw what the fullness of no separation. I'm sure I just saw a brief little hint of it, but that became the predicate for everything I see and teach and look, and is that there can never again be separation. I never again have to protect myself. I never again have to do anything for myself. Not only can I, shouldn't I can't. Not because there was any merit in me, but because I saw the stupidity of me. I saw the end of my mind. And I didn't like it very well, so that's why the reason I studied so hard wasn't to try to memorize scripture or learn the Bible. I was trying to prove through the Bible that what I had seen was not right. That was the part of my mind that still wanted that control, wanted the idea that I wanted to contain it. And I tried. That's why I didn't teach for so long. Because I had an inkling that this is what would happen. But the idea of having we're going to spend some more time on this. Go to Isaiah 40, just quick, and then we'll quit, because we're out of time. It's Bojo's fault. It's John's fault. Isaiah 40. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Because there's never again any separation. But you can't know that if you don't wait. That's why from God's perspective, waiting on Him is the evidence that you love Him. You give breath only to Him. You don't rise above the cloud when you have more than one option. You wait.
Maybe that's one of the big problems with man. Men by nature are impatient and have immediate needs, and a lot of we don't wait, and therefore we...
Well, they want control. It all comes down to control.
And so the son of perdition is revealed. That's what not waiting is to see that I see myself as God.
Right.
And I promise you, the waiting is it's the only way that sanctification can happen, where you don't, when you have this range of options of what you should do or could do or want to do or maybe want to do or maybe should do or maybe whatever, all of the babble, you wait. It may appear to everybody else on the face of the earth that waiting is absolute insanity. But you must wait, so that's what proves to you, that's what proves to your own self that Jesus Christ is in you. And this is something that isn't, it isn't, it's both corporate, but it, in order for it to be corporate, it has to be manifest individually on a second-by-second basis. Because you're constantly being confronted with stimuli. And everything, every one of the stimuli, no matter how innocent it may seem, is really this idea of proving and testing what is that good and perfect will of God, so that you may be perfect. The word perfect is the word in Greek is teleos. It means fully tested. And that's the only reason that time exists, so that this perfect and good and mysterious will of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, is manifest. And so that you never again trust in anything about you and everything about Him. And that's why I get so upset with God is going to use, you know, I used to tease Wade all the time. God's going to use my piano playing. God is going to use my talents for the Lord. No, He's not. He's going to cause you to wait on Him, so that His word is made flesh in you. Otherwise, it's just a theory. It's just some other idiotic religion. Amen?
It really struck me that God is not weary. He faints not. It's like there's no... He doesn't get tired like we do. He doesn't wear out. Get depressed. Whole different being than we are.
By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. That isn't a theoretical statement. By the deeds of your law, your little ideas, your little Jerusalem that now is. And at some point, you've got to stop making reference. We all have to stop making reference back to ourselves. At any time. So we never have a reference point. Because that's what causes us to trust those well-worn pathways. Amen?
Amen.
We didn't get anywhere today.